Thank you, Linda. It's nice to be here tonight. As we all know, this week is a holy week and the last week of Lent, and Sunday is Easter, the symbol of the resurrection of Christ. And I wanted to talk about the meanings and the missions and what Jesus did for all of us. It's not just, taking everybody's, karma and sins, as they say. It's a showing us that there is that Christ is within us, and we all can resurrect it and be Christ-like him and be understanding of oneness with divine and creator. Another mission and message is that it was the core of his teaching was loving. Just have that love. He said, love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength, and also God and love your neighbor as thyself. So, oh boy, if we have done that, we would have lived in paradise by now. But I guess this is the earthly world, and this is how it's supposed to be. The cycles are up and down. So, all we can do is just remind ourselves each day that we have that potential that Christ had. And that's why he was here to show us we have that potential. So, with that, I'm going to talk about read a blog from Ananda, and the title is Christ's Resurrection, Its Meaning for Us. One of the most dramatic stories in the Bible is Jesus entering into Jerusalem and his arrest, crucifixion, and subsequent resurrection. There are many lessons in it. Christ's prediction fulfilled. Christ's disciples had the choice of defending their master, of giving up their lives or freedom for him, or of at least not acknowledging that they were his disciples. But when the moment came, they lacked the strength to do any of that. Christ said to Peter, his steadiest, most insightful disciple, you will deny me three times before the cock crows twice. Peter said, no, Lord, I will never deny you. And yet he did just as Jesus predicted. Christ had told not only Peter, but all of his disciples that they would lose faith in him. And just as he had forewarned, the disciples went through the terrible torment of having had faith in the power of this great master, and then suddenly seeing him taken away and crucified. At the most crucial time, Jesus seemed to have lost his power. Suddenly, the one in whom they believed seemed untrustworthy. That was one of the points that I never thought about it before. And with this, blog, I'm like, that is actually makes sense because, they truly thought he had all this power and they seen the power and they knew that, he can overcome everything. And then all of a sudden seeing him and they being crucified, I now have more understanding for them, the disciples as well, which in the past it wasn't one of the points that I would think about. So that was a good reminder or opening mind for me at least. The drama of faith and doubt. The disciples' inability to carry through on their convictions called to mind the times when we too have failed to live up to our ideals. Like Peter, all of us at some time have denied our principles, even when forewarned and even when trying not to do so. The disciples of Christ were great souls. They believed in him. They knew his public teachings and had received from him the inner sacred teachings. They had great faith, but they also had doubts, just as we have doubts. The story of the crucifixion and resurrection is so powerful for us because at its core is interplay between the disciples' faith and doubts. Imagine the release of tension the disciples felt when, at their lowest point, the resurrected Christ entered the room and said, "Peace be with you." Easter morning is a proof of God's goodness, of Christ's reality, and that faith in the final analysis is justified. I totally can imagine how relieved they were when they saw Jesus come back, and it's just like new life for them. It is not enough to try to have faith. All of us go through that drama of faith and doubts for reasons that Paramahansa Yogananda repeatedly pointed out. He said that it is not enough simply to try to have faith. It is not enough to pray and expect the Guru to do all the work. We must take the life of Jesus or the life of Yogananda as a model for our own life. And we must attempt with every fiber of our mind and with all of our strength and feeling to live as they did. Their lives shows us how God manifests in soul that knows it has no existence other than God. That is such a beautiful life, isn't it? Love drives out doubt. God manifested in Jesus and Yogananda as great love and compassion. And both Jesus and Yogananda came to show us how to love unconditionally. Jesus said, "The whole of the law and the prophets hangs upon this too. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself." It is that simple. Love is a light that drives out the darkness of doubt and all other negativity, jealousy, self-righteousness, resentment. If you have a problem with another person, it is because the love between you has diminished. To solve it, increase the love. You can't control the other person, but you can control your own heart and mind. We see ourselves as extension of God. By learning to love in that way, we began to live according to the example of the Christ consciousness in the lives of Jesus and Yogananda. And we began to perceive more and more clearly that the Christ consciousness resides not only in them, but just as surely in us. As that realization comes, the other life of Jesus or Yogananda begins to fade as our model, and the Christ consciousness within us becomes more and more our model. It happens slowly at first, but gradually, with practice, it becomes stronger and stronger, until there is a complete change of consciousness. We no longer think of ourselves as only human beings, but as extensions of God, and we see every other person in the world equally as an extension of God. It is impossible to hate or seek vengeance. In that consciousness, there is no separation between the self and others. Even when people act wrongly or try to crucify us, it is impossible to find anything other than their healing and well-being. Jesus could do nothing other than forgive his enemies, nothing other than pray for them, because that was what God was manifesting through him. The great miracle of his life is that he was identified completely with God. That is the great goal and the true model that these masters have come to give us. To achieve that goal, we must combine a life of deep meditation and deep prayer. Every day in the stillness of our mind, we must strive with all our might to withdraw our identification from the body and the personality and to experience our soul nature. Then in other life, we must try to live in a perfect attunement with one of our great masters. We don't yet have that realization, but to the extent that we act as if we did, we will transform ourselves and the world around us. May we all be resurrected with that Christ consciousness within us. Amen.